Good, good. Feel the force flowing through you. Yes. That is it. Feel yourself getting stronger with the force. Jump here. Nice, nice. Stretch out with your feelings. Yes. Just ahead. I want you to stop. Put me down and rest. Padawan, stop here. Padawan, listen to me or you're not. Padawan?
Ow! 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 What'd they do?
Listen to me, you are not.
Of course not, Master. I've been listening to Technorama on my iPod while I'm working out.
Still much to learn you have.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at science, tech, sci-fi, and all things geek. This time we're doing it in 3D. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi. This is show number 110 for Monday, May 22nd. With me is my trusty co-host, passing out the 3D glasses. It's Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm good.
You don't sound good.
Man, my allergies have been kicking in, and then the weather changed humid and my voice took a vacation.
You sound good there, Grandpa.
Look here, I got an offer you can't refuse.
Was that the inspiration for your Yoda sketch?
Actually, last night it was. I didn't have to do anything, just speak.
Coming up in tonight's show, we've got news from Malaysia, we've got some Star Trek props for sale, and stuff and more stuff in the Geek Library. So stick with us, we'll be right back after the usual on this day in blah 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 history.
Listen to Technorama, you will.
Didn't we do that once?
We do it again. No, this is not the podcast you're thinking of.
On this day in tech history for May 22nd, 2006. This is May 22nd, it's the 142nd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 223 days remaining. It was on this date in 1819, the SS Savannah leaves Port of Savannah, Georgia, United States, on a voyage to become the first steamship to cross the Atlantic Ocean. The ship arrived at Liverpool, England on June 20th. And the Wright brothers are granted U.S. patent number 821393 on this date in 1906 for their flying machine. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, the longest-running children's series on U.S. television, airs its first episode on this date in 1967. And exactly 1 year later, in 1968, the nuclear-powered submarine USS Scorpion sinks with 99 men aboard, 400 miles southwest of the Azores. It was on this date in 1969 that Apollo 10's lunar module flies within 8.4 nautical miles of the moon's surface. And 16 years ago today, Windows 3.0 operating system is released by Microsoft. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1859 to Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Also born on this date in 1903, Yves Rocard, the French physicist. Belgian comic book creator Herga was born on this date in 1907. The Nobel Prize winning English chemist Herbert C. Brown was born on this date in 1912. And finally, the Austrian astrophysicist Thomas Gold was born on this date in 1920. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for May 22nd, 2006.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Patrick Norton from DLTV and Twit, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Yeah, VR back. It's good to be back in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
It was interesting listening from afar, which I did, what would have been Thursday morning for me.
Did it sound okay to you?
It was short.
Yeah, it was the time. It was the day conversion. It wasn't that short.
I was in the future. That was cool.
You're in the future.
Both Douglas Alexander and Philip from Australia said, "How do you like being in, welcome to the future?" Because it was Thursday morning. I was way ahead of everybody else. I could get used to that. I'll talk more about that in a little bit. We've got some voicemail to get through, though.
Hey, wait a minute.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Hello, Craig and Chuck. This is Bob from Appleton. I'm driving along, and yeah, I'm a little behind, but I'm listening to the one-year anniversary show. And you guys are talking about people from other countries thinking that you know people from all over the place around here, knowing someone in Los Angeles. And Craig made the comment that everybody expects him to know everyone in the South. And I just wanted to call in and let Craig know, hey, Craig, it's okay. I can't remember the names of all the people that I'm related to either. So if you've forgotten all of your relatives in the South, since everybody down there is, what, two people removed by marriage to sister, we'll forgive you because the rest of us can't remember all of our relatives either. So you guys have a wonderful day.
All right. No comment about the little behind.
Hey, by the way, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah?
And by the way, you're lucky I'm down here and you're up in Wisconsin.
Come down, kick your ass.
Me and my family come up there. We're invading the North. Let's go!
He was participating in shows later than what he's listening to. That's the part I don't understand. He was sitting in on the show for the 8th and he's still listening to the 1st.
Which time zone is he in?
I don't know. He's definitely not in the future with the rest of us. We also have another one from good old Bruce Barr.
Chuck, you got another phone call.
Who is it?
Bruce Barr.
OnStar?
Bruce Barr.
Juice Barr?
Bruce Barr.
I don't know what you're trying to tell me. Help him leave a message.
Hey, Craig, it's Bruce. I thought I would leave you this, although you probably are picking up the voicemail for Chuck. But anyway, since you aren't picky, I thought I would leave you a little comment. You and the kid are just slaying me with that opening. He is great. Man, Chuck, better watch out. You know, these young techno geeks are coming up and nipping at his heels, you know. Might be a new co-host there. Anyway, and also, you know, it is okay to talk to yourself. It's just when you start arguing with yourself that you really have to worry, okay? Anyway, and as far as the other thing that occurred to me was when you were talking about how Chuck's server was down and you didn't have access to all the clips and everything like that. And, you know, I think it might be of interest sometime. I don't know whether it would be on Syntax or on Technorama, but I know from things that you guys have said that Chuck has a media server up there that you store things on, and then he's the central control and everything when you guys are usually broadcasting. And how does that connection happen between your network and his network? I think there would be people who would be interested in that, and it might be a Technorama thing, it might be a valid Syntax thing if there was free software involved there. So, and there was something else, but I can't remember what that is now, so I will be letting you go and looking forward to listening to the next shows. when I fly off tomorrow to Canada. So I'm going up there with the Canucks, eh? Okay, have a beer, eh? Bye, eh?
We refer to that as Canuckistan.
Canuckistan?
Yeah, Canada. That's Canuckistan.
Oh, okay. I refer to it as Canadia.
There's a whole bunch of jokes around that, and I'm sure we'll get beaten up by our Canadian listeners. Yeah. Before I go on to his last point, the file sharing, wanted to mention the voicemail. It was supposed to be forwarded, but for some reason didn't work. I had a Gmail filter set up to say, you see this? If it's from K7.net, send a copy to Craig. But for some reason, he didn't get that. There was only one, and that was the one from Bob, which you didn't see. The other one is, it's okay to talk to yourself, and it's okay to answer yourself. The time you're in trouble is when you start saying, huh?
Yeah. Hey, actually, I refer to Infocom, which is the source of everything you should learn for life. And they says, talking to yourself is a sign of impending mental collapse.
Ooh. Well, if you believe in the Big Bang Theory, then your brain probably works that way also.
Yeah.
As for the file sharing, I say now's a good time to discuss that.
Yeah, go for it.
Hamachi.
Yeah, that's where we use Hamachi. We don't actually use Hamachi for our Skype connection or anything, you know, our voiceover, but we do use it for, you know, sharing our files back and forth because it's so transparent.
It is. I bring it up on a Windows machine here, and unfortunately, I powered down the machine because I figured, oh, I'm going to be gone for a week. I don't want these things just sitting around using electricity.
Oh, yeah. What a shame.
Yeah, what a shame. And I, you know, I didn't want the kids to just walk up and think they were available, so I
what are all these files?
Down.
I'm going to delete them.
And then I think it was Wednesday morning. I asked the Donna to power one of them up, and it powered up, but didn't auto-log in and didn't start Hamachi, so it didn't do Craig any good. So you got to have Hamachi running with somebody logged in. And then it just advertises the shares. You see the Windows shares that I've got.
Just like you're on the local network, which is it's not exactly free software as an open source. Not free as in you know, speech, but it's free as in beer, and you can get it over at hamachi.cc.
Free as in beer?
You know, free as in beer is, you know, I'll just take it. Free as in free speech is you can take it and get the source code and everything.
Okay.
Hello, do you listen to my show?
And now there's a there's an OS X client available. Or not the client, but it's the... tell me about that.
Well, they had an OS X, or... an OS X client, but it was just posted into the forum somewhere, and you could download it. It was still like a trial version, but recently there's a graph, you know, a GUI for it to make it a little easier to use.
Okay.
And it looks pretty good. And same thing with Linux. There is a command line version, which you know it's a little confusing at first, but somebody did post a GUI for it in the forums, and I was like, oh, cool, and I went and you know, snagged it, and I used it. It was pretty good. Oh, by the way, I was going to add that at work I've got a machine at my desk, and I use Hamachi to talk to it. And just the other day, I tried to get to it, and the machine, for some reason, it power cycled. I don't know if they pushed some updates out. Well, there's something you can do with Hamachi. If you search around, it's pretty easy. You can find it in Google. You can make Hamachi start as a service.
Oh, I like that. That might help us out in the future.
That way you just turn it on, and then you can VNC to it and do whatever.
Okay. Where can somebody find more information about that?
It's at Hamachi, Hamachi.cc.
Any idea what the CC stands for? I don't know off the top
cool
of my
cat?
Head.
I don't know. It's just another... I don't know.
You
we
think
need
about,
to prep for this, Chuck.
You,
come on.
You look that up while I give a shout-out to the chat room and do the birthday
list. It stands
list.
For Chuck Chat.
Oh, good idea. Yeah, I've got my own TLD. God, you sound bad.
Shut up, man.
Shout-out to... Well, I got to thank you for covering the last two shows. That was a treat.
I'm going to tell you, I seriously, it was the worst time because I ended up with less time than I planned, and it was like, whatever I tried to stick in the show notes, I thought I had plenty, and it turned out to be like, you know, 20 minutes worth of stuff. I'm like,
I'm cranking through performance reviews for my staff and listening to this at the same time and going, wow, that was quick.
Welcome to tonight. It's going to be an hour and a half show.
All right, in the chat room tonight, we've got some of the regulars are missing.
I know, it was a short show. Nobody didn't run them off.
Beaker 1, East Bay Ant, Kevin Devon, Missing Intellect, Norb Tech, Stingray 42, Tim Elliott, and Zaha Doom. Among the notables missing are Mark Shepard, Joni, who else? Chad is missing.
Scotter.
Scott is missing. I know he's at home. He helped me get the stream thing set up a minute ago.
Come get his butt on the computer.
And while we're at it, happy birthday to one of our chat room listeners at the moment, Tim Elliott. It's his birthday in a couple of days. Or if you're listening to this sometime in June, you missed it. Send him a card.
Or if you're in Malaysia, it was yesterday.
Well, that's a good point. No, actually, I think it's the 22nd. So this show is for the 22nd. Something like that. It's coming.
Just
come
in the DeLorean and go back, and you can figure it out. I pulled the trigger.
Yep, I'm going to Mars. If it's not your daughter, you're fishing for something else.
Just like Obi-Wan did.
Yeah, and then you woke up.
All right. Ruin my fun.
Is that typewriter getting longer, or is that my imagination? Dun dun dun. A plus sign.
That's the little cross on the keyboard.
Yeah, that was Stephen Hawking. Wasn't he great?
I still can't believe he's 57. They're joined in the gears.
We're not going to go into their preferences.
The 10th planet is bigger than Pluto. Now can we go home?
Podcast User Magazine, the premier magazine for podcasters, podcast listeners, musicians, and even business people. Inside each fully packed monthly issue, you'll find hardware, software, and book reviews, ideas on building an audience, generating revenue, podcast reviews, and answers to questions from the experts who have been at podcasting from the beginning. Find out more at podcastusermagazine.com.
It's time for the news.
And now to Bill.
Craig's got the first news. What's in the news, Craig?
Well, in the news, let me look at it. Oh, yeah, I'm not even paying attention. Oh, yeah, I thought this was pretty big news because the hard drive wars for so long. Seagate bought Maxtor. How about that?
That's pretty big news.
What's that?
That's pretty big news. That leaves who? Yeah. Who? Quantum? Western Digital?
Western Digital, yeah.
And Seagate. Those are pretty much the big names.
Well, you know, Maxtor, I don't think... And correct me if I'm wrong, they hadn't really been around as long as Seagate and Western Digital and all them, but I just thought it was interesting because the news came out and then it says the transaction is expected to close in 2 to 3 business days. I was like, holy crap, that's pretty quick, you know? So
I didn't realize Seagate changed their logo, too. It used to be that scrolling S that kind of looked like a Windows script file, but now it's... I can't remember. I just saw it a few days ago. I can't remember. They changed the logo. I went, wow, new logo. But, you know, me, I'm a little slow on some things.
Yeah, it looks like a paper roll or something. Toilet paper?
TP.
Yeah. I need TP for my dongle. I can't even do that one tonight.
My name is Cordelio.
I need TP for my dongle.
It just reminds me of the Lucent logo, but we'll leave that one alone for now.
Yeah, right.
So, Seagate buys Maxtor, and you know what I saw? 750 gigabyte hard drive from Seagate.
That's big.
Dang, drive, that's bigger than most of the servers we have at our sites.
Yeah, that's pretty big. I mean, can you imagine having that much space? I just saw, was it on Dig or something like that? They said there was like a 320 gig for $100.
You raid like 10 of those together and you got a pretty sweet house. You do a lot of audio and video editing on that.
Yeah, right.
I mean, think about it. You could spend under $1,000 and you get this kick-ass raid system with terabytes and terabytes of information. Honey, I'm downloading the internet.
Yeah. Oh, I'm done.
Google called. They want some storage.
Yeah. Google called.
What else do we have in the news? Moving right along.
Well, and I know I keep railing about this, but I can't help it. I just saw just a little bit ago a new Superman Returns trailer, and it looks freaking awesome.
When is it open? June 26th?
Just 1 second, and I should tell you. It opens June 30th. But the trailer, a lot of it's, if you saw the previous trailer, it has a lot of the same scenes and that kind of thing in it, but it has a little bit extra in there too, and it's really cool the way I got it cut up. And I almost don't want to talk about it too much because I want everybody to go see it and catch that last little bit.
Is it on the Apple site?
No, actually, I've got a link to it in the show notes. It's over at Warner Brothers. It's a MOV file you can download, and it's like the ending. I don't want to give it away, even though it's a trailer. So I have to go check it out.
And also, up for sale, according to CNET, lots of the Star Trek props for sale. They've got everything from phasers to uniforms to the plaque to the USS Enterprise to tribbles. Oh. They've got a couple tribbles for sale.
Oh, come on, man. You can make those.
I know. They look like those things that girls used to put on the front of their roller skates.
You're no kidding. But you know what I want to put in my living room is that Klingon command chair.
I don't know if that would work. Maybe in the studio. That would work.
Hmm. That'd be a cool seat for your visitors to sit in. Put a mic booth.
Hope you're comfortable. Come on,
let's see. Yeah.
Yeah, they've got the plaque. Sovereign class, 6th starship to bear the name, registry number NCC-1701E, launch star date 49827.5, San Francisco Yards. It was at Utopia Planitia.
That's right.
I think the plaque needs updating.
I took a facility tour there one time.
At Utopia Planitia?
Yeah, we'll save that for another show.
Yeah, speaking about being in the future.
Yeah. Mm.
Any idea how much they want for some of that stuff?
I have no idea. It's an auction, so.
Means it's probably too much for my blood.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, if you listen to the Stay in Tech History, Chuck gave you the patent number of the
Wright Brothers flying machine. Wright Brothers.
If you can find out what the previous patent is, put it in the wiki.
You're making this a quiz?
Yeah, you got to go back and listen to Chuck this time and go find it.
I got to laugh. I'll bring it up later, but I did some audio tour while I was in Malaysia and put a lot of the stuff into the freestyle show. And one of them, we were taking a ferry tour from Penang, which is an island, over to the mainland of Malaysia. And I asked if anybody knows what this Malaysian word means, because KC didn't know.
Oh, really?
And he turns to me and he says, "Aren't you going to make this a quiz?" a quiz?
I don't even know if I can do that now.
A quiz? A quiz? The girls thought that was funny when I told them about that. And finally, in the news, the GNews. Oh, you already did it. The Superman trailer. I did the bullet out of order. You're messing with my brain. Fine.
I don't know why. I skipped it.
Technorama, the show with a toy prize inside. They're all highly egg-shaped. With me way out on the corner of Geek Street and Nerd Boulevard is my co-host, Craig Stapp.
Hey, Chuck, I'm open. Over here.
Go long. Go really, really long. We want to thank Mark Shepard for his donation to the tip jar.
I thought he was a dog.
Magnets and electronics don't go together. How right you are.
I did a service call, and this woman said her floppy disk wasn't working.
That's enough of these podcasts.
Like free software? Better yet, like free software with the power to make it something different and better for everybody? Valid Syntax is a short 10-minute podcast looking at the status of open source projects as reported at SourceForge and FreshMeat and others you might find useful for any OS. Also, with your help, we'll spotlight on each show a project of the day, editorials, and possibly have a little fun along the way. So join me twice a week for all this and more at ValidSyntax.com. Remember, without Valid Syntax, you can't do anything.
I can't do anything anyway, so it doesn't matter if I listen or not.
or if you got valid syntax or not.
Regardless whether I have valid syntax. Hey, I got to tell you, I think I'm finally on the right time zone after 2 days. That trip is a killer. From the time I left...
The flux capacitor got you right.
Oh, God, we really need to invent transporters. Of course, that won't fix the jet lag thing, will it? I'll just show up in the middle of the night.
Actually, it'll be a little quicker. It might be worse.
yeah, that's true. You won't have time to rest. It took, from the time I left Appleton to the time I landed on the ground in Malaysia, was about 36 hours. That's not total flying time, mind you. The longest leg was from Chicago to Hong Kong, which is about 13 hours. And you fly way up by the Arctic Circle. On the way back, we flew a little lower by, you know, the Aleutian Islands, and I've got some cool pictures of that. But
the Aleutian Islands?
The Elusive Islands?
It's next door to Fantasy Island.
Welcome to Rurapente. Never mind.
The plane.
Oh, that's nice. Tattoo, why are you chain smoking again?
Hey. The plane, boss.
So, anyway, I did fly business class, which is kind of cool, and I learned a couple of things about business class, especially on the way back, because this is only the second time I've ever flown business class. And the guy who sat next to me from Singapore to Hong Kong on the way back taught me a couple things. And I would love to find a book like Business Travel for Dummies, because I was missing out on a lot of things my first time. There is a club.
The perks.
There's a club in the Hong Kong airport where they say, oh, if you're flying business class or first class, you can go to the club on the second floor. And there's all kinds of free stuff. You just reach in and grab a soda or coffee or a cappuccino.
Oh, yeah.
Free Wi-Fi, free internet.
I keep trying to go in there and the door's locked.
You got to show them your boarding pass to get in.
Oh.
But that's pretty sweet. A whole bunch of things I didn't know about. And just... Where are more of these things that I need to find out? I got to talk to some of my managers and execs about this stuff.
When I got off the plane, that guy was like, "What the hell is he doing in business class?"
Man, my shirt's hanging out and everything.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, Singapore Air, the hop we took from Singapore to the island of Penang, Malaysia. Oh, that is the best. Every airline, you may have already heard this, but every airline could take a lesson from this place. And they've got high-tech seats, so instead of reclining and feeling like you're going to crush the guy's knees behind you,
sure,
they recline in place. They sort of rock in a saddle. It's
pretty
cool.
What fun is that? I want to crush the guy's knees.
No, you don't. You don't want to be the guy who's getting crushed knees.
No, I don't want to be the guy. I want to...
Instead of the little, like, 5-inch LCDs that swing out of the console between the seats, they've got, like, a 12-inch screen in front of you. I mean, much bigger, much brighter. The flight attendants aren't bad-looking either. And they remember your name. They come around, they go, Mr. Tomasi, what did you want to eat? And I'm like, wow, who told them my name? Of course, they're probably looking who's sitting in seat 4A.
But yeah.
Works for me. I mean, nobody else called me by name. So that is.
We called you some names while you were gone. But
business class is the way to go. While I was in Malaysia, found a few of our competitors and also a few of our customers and suppliers. I saw AMD, not the CPU making factory. I found out this was the like the flash memory
chipsets and stuff.
Yeah, the flash memory manufacturing component. They're literally next door to one of our facilities. We've got two, and there's going to be three. And then a lot of our competitors, there's one sort of up on the hill and one down by the ocean. In fact, I look out the office window, I can see the ocean.
I was going to say, you can look out the window and see them and cuss.
No, they're off to the left. There's also companies like Seagate and Intel. I mentioned AMD. So they're all there.
On your schedule. Look out window and cuss competitors.
Well, the funny thing was, we were coming back from lunch on Thursday. And one of our competitors, we're driving through the industrial park and drive past one of them, and everybody's standing outside. And I jokingly said, Wei Lin, you're not supposed to call the competitors with a bomb scare. It's not good competition.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, sorry. Then we get to work, and we're working for about an hour, and he walks past my office and goes, we have to leave the building. I say, what? Our competitor call us back with a bomb scare just to get even? Turns out there was a chemical spill or something, and somebody got lightheaded. So we had to clear the building so they could ventilate it and whatnot.
Wow.
But that was a bit ironic. Like they practice different business tactics than we do in the U.S.
In America, chemical spill, we celebrate that.
I do have some pictures on Flickr if you want to take a look at these. There's one of me sitting in the cockpit of a 747. Honest to goodness, on the way out when we got to Hong Kong and we were about to hop down to Singapore, I heard this guy. at the cockpit. He was the guy who was sitting next to me in business class. And I hear him, "Hey, Captain, mind if I take a picture?" I'm like, "Yeah, right. Picture of the cockpit. That's rich." And he goes, "Oh, no problem." I'm going, "Holy crap." You know, because the cockpit in the U.S. is this shrine. You're not allowed to go near it anymore since 9/11. It's all protected. You get busted by the feds and, you know, stay away from the – you just kind of get this stigma of what the cockpit is these days. Oh, not overseas. I went up and I said, "Hey, good evening, Captain. Mind if I take a picture?" He goes, "How about I take a picture of you sitting in the captain's seat?" I'm like, "Holy crap. Are you kidding me?"
"Yes, sir, Captain Steubing. Thanks."
"Yeah, you're not really the captain, are you?"
"Yeah. No, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
And I got to sit next to the cute blonde co-pilot."
"Maybe."
So if you want to see a picture of me sitting in the cockpit of an honest-to-goodness 747, granted it was on the ground, still tethered to the...
You know what? I was going to doctor it up and change the windows. Look like you're flying somewhere and you're just looking back smiling.
One of the coolest things that I did see was as we were coming back and we were up by the Aleutian Islands, it happened to be midnight and I was on the international dateline. We were crossing about that time and you could see this haze over the top of the earth. I mean, if you look north, you could see this glow, and I've got a picture of that as well. That was kind of cool. It'd be neat if it was closer to the solstice and you could actually see the sunrise, or were you a little further north?
Well, latitude? I was going to say, was it like an aurora borealis type thing, or?
It was more of a glow. You could see stars a little higher up, but you could see it was almost like looking at the atmosphere, but like being in space, so to speak. But we were only about 35,000 feet. On the way out, however, we flew further north and the sun never set. We left Chicago in the day. We flew so far north that the sun never went down, and then we landed in Hong Kong. It was still day.
It's like my wife, at one point, and this is a long time ago, she lived in Alaska for a little while. And, they go through periods of time where it's night.
Oh, yeah.
Or a day. And they have, like, all the houses have, like, dark shades so they can go to sleep.
That must be murder. You know, I have a hard time getting my kids to sleep in the summer. After a little
bit, you may want to murder somebody.
Yeah, I wonder about that winter depression thing. But I'll tell you, those time zones, they'll mess you up. I mean, I'd get up in the morning, and I'd call my family and wish them, see how the kids are after school. How was school? Is mom home yet? And it was late afternoon for them, or just after dinner, and I'm about to go out with my friends. And then I'd have a full day work, and I'd come home at 7:30, and I'd call them up and go, "Good morning, it's time to go to school." And I'm trying to convince myself of what time it really is back home. Like
And you just got home. You got back to your hotel room, and you're drunk.
No, not drunk at 7:30.
"Hey, I'll go to school and do good."
"Hey, Lisa, I just got done with work on Thursday." And I go, "Where are you, Lisa?" "On the stairs." "Where's mom?" "I don't know." I'm getting these answers from them.
Why are you bothering me?
I can picture it. But yet it's still hard to wrap your brain around being in this alternate reality where time just doesn't make sense. But it was fun listening to Technorama on Thursday morning. That was just totally bizarre.
Was it?
It was. The food was awesome. I know this isn't really tech, but the food was awesome. We had Taiwanese food, which, what did I have? I can't even remember.
I've had Thai in Charlotte. It's pretty good stuff.
If you listen to two freestyles ago, I have a whole thing about the Taiwanese food. We have a little bit of traffic report. Traffic is wonderful over there. It's a bunch of little cars buzzing in and out, and usually in a major traffic jam. And when they're stuck, the motorcycles, which are slightly bigger than mopeds, are going.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that was fun. Japanese food, very good stuff. Oh my gosh. You know, really? Somebody said, "Hey, try the octopus." You go, "Ooh, hey, ooh, yeah." No, this was good. This was good, especially in
octopus.
That.
I've eaten octopus before. I kind of like it. I
had Malaysian food.
I mean, authentic Japanese, but I've had Japanese stuff here. Yeah, it's pretty good stuff.
While we're on the subject of food, I wanted to thank Philip from Australia for the candy.
Oh, very much so. Thank you. That was a nice surprise. The other day I came home and I was like, I said, "There's a box on the stairs." I was like, "What is this?" And my wife's like, "I don't know. What'd you order?" I was like, "I didn't order anything." And I looked at the name. I was like, "Philip? Philip. Oh. And I made my way down to the, you know, address line. I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, he sent us a bunch of chocolate. This stuff's awesome.
Oh, it's good. It was all, most of it was like Cadbury stuff in a little box. And then we had three different packages of Tim Tams, the regular, the double chocolate, and the, what was inside the other one? Truffle or something?
Yeah,
that's it. Oh, those are to die for. And what about 7 or 8 violet crumbles?
Yeah, I had a bunch of those. I actually took a couple of them to work, and people were like, hey, these are great. It's like a, almost like a, it's kind of like Whopper, but in a bar.
Yeah, form. That sea foam kind of stuff. It was a malted, foamy...
sea foam.
You've never had sea foam?
It's a little squishy, but...
really good because they use real sugar and real ingredients.
Whopper, you know, Whopper's like that. It's got that malted ball in the middle.
Did you check up the nutritional information? It wasn't in calories. It was like in kilojoules or something.
Oh, no. I was going to say, it's chocolate, man. There's no reason to look at the nutritional value. Like, what the hell am I for? I'm eating chocolate. Scared to say anything on the show anymore. You're gonna stick it in one of the sweepers.
I say things on purpose to be in the sweepers.
It works perfectly. It was easy enough. Bam, connected, and you don't need a PC to do that. I did it all with the remote control.
I'm certain about that.
What is this? Well, I'm game. I'll try it. I tried to do large. I did the small and the medium ones. No problem. Smooth as silk.
This is Douglas C. Welch of Career Opportunities, the High Tech Career Handbook, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Hey, you're working on something for iTunes for us.
Yes, I am. Hold on a second.
What the heck was that?
I hate web pages that have music on it by default.
Where'd you go? The Titanic music webpage?
Sort of.
Celine Dion was
where you'll know in a minute. I was preloading some pages. Anyway, so iTunes. Yes, so you were saying too, Chuck.
iTunes.
Yes, iTunes. I'm sorry, my voice is starting to go here. In iTunes, I put together a Friends in Tech page. I emailed the guys at Apple, who were awesome. They returned my emails faster than I expected, and they got our information together. And you can go search for Friends in Tech, and there's an artist page, and we'll have a link to it. Actually, we'll put a link on the main site, but in the show notes, there's a link right now, and you can go check it out. But hopefully we'll have some graphics, and it'll be a nice, killer, you know, branded page. But you can go check it out at Friends in Tech and see all the member shows.
And if you look up any one of them, like if you just put up Technorama in the search box, it will come up with Technorama, and it'll have this secondary link that you can pull up as well, which is kind of cool. So
artist page. Mm-hmm.
Is that what they call it?
Artist room, I think, is what he called it.
Artist rendering.
Room.
I know.
Rendering. Yeah, of like the scream. Come on. I smell another Da Vinci Code.
Hey, I got to mention, we do not have a Try a Geek segment this week. In fact, I am behind. I haven't entered hardly any of them since I went to Malaysia. I do have them. I just haven't had a chance to catch up on that particular item. I had a lot of other things that were due, like tonight, like on this Day in Tech History segment. What I'm thinking of doing is terminating this one. After I get the scores in there, we'll announce the winners and announce the answers so everybody knows what the answers really were. And if you think there was an error, let me know. I can check all the emails that you sent me, because there was somebody who called me out on that. They said, I haven't missed one, but for some reason I'm not in the lead.
Now, there is a big surprise. We're giving away a MacBook Pro for the highest. I'm just kidding.
I was going, where are you getting this money? I haven't got any, but we could offer something from the Chuck Chat store or something for
I'll
a price
send
for the
a piece of chocolate that Philip sent us.
Hopefully it's unopened.
Yeah, it still is. I got a couple pieces left.
So this phase of Try a Geek is over. We're going to put a little bit of different spin on the next one, but pretty much the same rule, same score, and we'll start over so everybody's got a fair chance. Moving on to the Geek Library.
Okay, this is the link I did not want to pull up again. I forgot all about this when I pulled it up before. It's this guy built an 1/8 scale of the largest ocean liner out there. and it looks just like, I forget what brand, it's like a, what brand is that? It's one of the big ocean liners. Anyway, it looks like it, but he's standing on the deck of it at the top, and he's like just as big as the smokestack. You know, it's a small scale down version. However, you can go inside of it, and it has rooms and stuff like a yacht. You know, you ever been on a yacht?
Is this Majesties of the Seas? Is that the one that I'm looking at?
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, that's a Royal Caribbean.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm looking at.
Oh, wow.
Excuse me. Hold on.
Yeah, you might want to mute when you do that.
Stupid idiot. Putting music on his website. Anyway, yeah, it's like one of those Royal Caribbean things. And if you look down after he built it, there's a picture of him standing on the top. And it's funny because it just looks like he's a huge, it's like, you know, it just looks unusually huge on the top of it. But he has a bedroom and it has a dining room and the whole works. And it works. So you can go check it out.
Why did he do this?
He just said he wanted to do it. Because he felt like he wanted to, I don't know, go read the site.
That's a whole lot of money.
It is. And it's very big, too.
He better get like, something out of it, like a spot in a movie or something.
He can ride the boat around, man.
Yeah.
Again, they launched it.
And sleep on the little hobbit beds or something.
Yeah, my luck, it looks kind of short, so my luck, I'd hear a noise and I'd lean up real quick.
Boom! Oh my
like
head.
Like a Three Stooges in the train. You know, they kept trying to climb over each other to... Bam. Oh, anyway, moving right. That wasn't really tech related, but I just thought it was really cool. So I threw it in there.
We do things about geeks who build things.
Yeah, it didn't matter. We're a geek show.
And
geek
speaking of DIY.
Yes, these are the top 10 strangest DIY gadgets, do-it-yourself gadgets that we've seen. Now, some of these we've talked about, the Mountain Dew box. It's got a Mountain Dew dispenser in it. Mm-hmm. The Nintendo clock.
Did we talk about that one?
Yeah, I think we mentioned it one before. It looked like an NES box with the, you know, little flap where you put the cartridges and alarm clock sitting in there. And it's the On Down, which I think is one of the cooler ones, is a functional hard drive clock. It has a set of LEDs around the spinning disc. And it makes the lines move as the time moves on. It's pretty cool. And they got a video of that. Let's see what some other stuff. Oh, the hard drive speakers. We talked about that. The Power Glove mouse. Remember the Power Glove from the NES?
Yeah.
The old Nintendo Power Glove. Somebody turned it into a mouse. Anyway, you can go check it out. There's some other cool stuff in there.
The Tech E-Blog Top 10 Strangest DIY Gadgets. Yep, link in the show notes.
Yes. Also, for all you people that are shaking your laptops anyway, why not turn your Mac into a lightsaber sound thingy?
What?
Well, you know how all the Macs have the sensors to tell whether it's falling or whatever, the motion sensors?
They do? I knew the ThinkPads did, but I didn't know the Macs did.
Yeah, some of the Macs. I think it's just maybe the MacBook. There's an application that it'll monitor those sensors, and it'll make lightsaber sounds as you're shaking your laptop.
Oh, no, that's funny.
I was like, you know, hey, you're shaking. Who doesn't shake their laptops?
Well, nobody, but if you tilt it, it's got a little, like, gyroscopic thing in there. It'll go...
Well, look, I'll be like, hey, this is cool. Why is the hard drive winding now?
Uh-oh, ran out of force.
Too much force.
And you've got one more from one of your favorite comic strips.
This is probably one of the last things I'm going to be saying on this show, because I'm starting to lose it. Foxtrot for Sunday is in Morse code. I do not know what it says because I have not had time to look, try and figure it out. But rather than wait for somebody to decipher it, I am going to go figure it out. Anyway, you can go look. I got a link straight to it.
You're going to... There's got to be Morse code decoders on the... You know, if you Google that stuff. I think I've used them before. I just can't remember where they were.
You can just go look up the Morse code chart, I mean, and figure it out.
Oh, then you got to do character by character. You should be able to copy paste the, you know, dot dot dash dot 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 dash dot 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 dot.
Or tap it with your mouse. Tap it out with your mouse. That would be Web 2.0 for Morse code.
If you can read this.
I need an Ajax application that talks to the server database so I can double click and check out these Morse code things.
We also have about a dozen other links in the Geek Library contributions from Mad Marv. Yeah, we're going to have to give this a proper name. All I've got is Marv's contributions this week. The revolutionary Japanese UV LED makes light work. Three Neptune-sized planets found around a distant star. Glass to study dog speak. The turntable with frickin' laser beams.
Oh, and look, turn your MacBook into a lightsaber.
Hey, via /dot. It's good to know we're at the same sources.
Wow.
We're going to have to edit these show notes a little better in the future.
Yeah.
And Code Monkey music video. I thought that said monkey before. Code Monkey?
It probably was supposed to.
Someone made a typo.
I hope there's no music on it because I'm pulling it up.
That takes us to the end of the show, and Craig is all worn out.
Uh-huh.
We appreciate it, Yoda.
All right, Dan. Oh, wait.
That was an interesting Sling. Yoda.
That's a Sling Blade doing Yoda.
Gonna have All right, Dan. Mm-hmm.
Listen, you are not.
Yeah. The Force is strong with you. Mm-hmm.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can get on listener line at 206-222-CHAT. You can email me, chuck@chuckchat.com, or send audio comments if they're bigger. Gmail fits them better. chuckchat@gmail.com. You can also email Craig at Craig, K-R-E-G, at chuckchat.com. Our website, which I believe Craig refers to as the constant of the universe, is at chuckchat.com for all the forums. Swag.
Forums. They're in French now.
Forums. Webcam, mail list. You didn't give me a voice to do these in, so I'm winging it here.
Oh, by the way, the voice was Kermit the Frog.
Oh, goody. We'll do the rest then. Links, show notes, and more. This show is a member of Friends in Tech. Find out more about friendsintech.com.
Ribbit.
Oh, Kermit.
I could probably do a better... Audio streaming is provided by Scott Reynolds, chat room by freeno.net, and if you're listening to this show by clicking on the website, consider subscribing to get the show automatically delivered to you for free. Drop either one of us an email, and we will show you how to be more in the ways of the Force and get the
Wait, show. Chuck, how much was that again?
It was free, free, free!
Very good.
If you're wise, you'll tell a friend about Technorama, because according to our stats, we're losing a few of you, and it's disappointing.
What?
Till next time, give them a horse binary high five, Craig.
101, y'all.
Beautiful.
Yo.